The message you are about to hear is provided as an outreach ministry of Calvary Bible Church in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your blessing. We thank you because we have roof over our head, money in wallet or purse, shoes on our feet, and clothes on our back. And we also thank you that it's not just the material blessing we have, but we have each other, even the eternal blessing. And Father, we thank you that part of this blessing we've brought into your house. And we thank you for giving us strength. We thank you for the gift of work, that we just don't work for money, but we also work for your glory, for your ordained work. Father, we also thank you that you give such a generous heart to the people of this church to contribute toward your ministry here at the Calvary. And we pray for your blessing upon them. And Lord, at this time also, we want to thank you for our pastor, Pastor Ken and Mary, where they are. Father, be with them. And then we also thank you for your love for us, for your patience for us. We praise your name. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. I was contemplating going into James again, but as I just contemplated it and talked with the Lord, I think that we will finish up and put a capstone on our Thanksgiving time. I think this is a very vital topic, Thanksgiving. I think this church does very well in their thankfulness to the Lord and to one another. But let's first go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into the message. Father God, we thank and praise you for your abundant grace and mercy to us. Lord, you know that we really don't deserve it. And yet because of Christ, because of your great love for the world, you sent him, our sacrifice, that we might be part of your family. Thank you, O Lord, and thank you for these dear folks here today. Bless our hearts and strengthen us in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Colossians 3, 12 through 17 will be my scripture reading. We had kind of a hiccup in our doing the bulletin this time. It was actually on the master, but somehow the scripture and message title did not get put in there. We're not sure how that happened. Ann and I looked at it after we were folding the bulletin and wondered what we did wrong. But anyway, Colossians 3, 12 through 17 says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." As I contemplated on Thanksgiving over the course of this past week, I realized how much we have much to thank God for in all that he's done. We often in Thanksgiving services think of how God has benefited us and rejoice in all his blessings that he gives our way. But I thought as I began to prepare this, I did a search on four different words. related to thanksgiving and thanks and thankfulness and all those things that you search on. And I was amazed to find something quite interesting with regard to the church. When you do that search, if you ever were to do it, you will find the most references and admonitions to thanksgiving in two epistles. And those two epistles are 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And the interesting thing about those two epistles is that they were epistles that were corrective teaching to the Corinth church. If you remember being taught about the Corinthian church or in Corinth, their biggest problem was they were divisive. They had four different groups that were claiming they had different guys that they were following. And so there was much division. And it seems to me that oftentimes when a church is not unified, thankfulness is left by the way. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21, we get a stern warning. You know the passage. It's a lengthy passage about people who have left God and not followed God. And one of the biggest things it says, although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. If you read on in the chapter, you'll see a downward spiral. They get worse and worse. But it begins oftentimes with an unthankful heart. We look at our circumstances and we can get so overwhelmed with them that we forget God. Why is this happening to me? We get so much introspection that we forget to look out and see our God and who he is and all that he has for us. You see, it doesn't just happen to unbelievers. We Christians can also be that way. People who do not appreciate what they have will also generally not be thankful people. And when we consider what we have in Christ, it blows our mind. You should have been in Sunday school. I was just amazed at what God did, as he often does, where we were on the subject of thankfulness and all that Christ and all his glory has done for us. We're in Hebrews chapter 10, but oh, what a tremendous time we had this morning. Well, if you read the Old Testament, you see many examples in the Old Testament of Israel. Their up and down climb. One good king and then a bad king. The nation of Israel, the northern kingdom, was mainly just bad kings, but a roller coaster ride for the believers, for people who trusted in Jehovah God. Their big thing was they weren't thankful. In 1 Corinthians 14, 16, and 17, it says, where one member was exercising their spiritual gifts in the wrong way. It states, otherwise, when you are praising God in the Spirit, how can someone else who is put in the position of an inquirer say amen to your thanksgiving, since they did not know what you are saying because you're speaking in tongues? You're giving thanks very well, but no one else is edified. It was a scene of where the church was building themselves up individually. Remember, they had trouble at the Lord's Supper. And so they were having strife and trouble just giving thanks to God because there was so much competition. James states that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. God is always the same. But we need to remember that every good thing that we have comes from him. Every good gift is from God. At this time, we often remember the first Thanksgiving that happened way back when Massachusetts Puritans were setting up. They had gone through a rough winter. They landed in 1620 in December. Didn't have time for crops. They only had what they brought and a little bit of stuff that they could dig up. But God, in answer to their prayers, provided friendly Indians to them. If you're wondering, yes, there were also hostile Indians out there too. But the friendly Indians drew alongside of them and helped them. But during the course of the winter, they lost nearly half of their 100 people that had come over from England. But they understood that God did help them through the Indians that winter. So in the fall of 1621, they held what we often call the first Thanksgiving. Despite their losses of loved ones and the difficulties they faced, they met together with the friendly Indians to take time to give thanks to God, who had protected them, and they counted their blessings. They worshiped God. Amazing. Through difficult circumstances, and we know what that means. Many of us do. We have to consider that they left their home country because they were being harassed for their faith. They traveled across the ocean, and there were a few that died even in that part of the journey. But then they ran out of food, and the Indians helped them, but still some of them passed away from pneumonia and other things, other sicknesses. We can let circumstances of life overwhelm us, but we need to remember our blessings that God has bestowed upon us. And we need to return to Him and give thanks. There is so much that we can rejoice. In 2 Corinthians 4:7, we read this, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." We sometimes wonder, if you're like me, why you've gone through a particular trial in your life. Why the circumstances of life seem to have turned your life upside down. And here is one of the keys. I believe God wants to amaze the world through us. Not because of us, but He wants to amaze the world that there's something different about us. And you and I both know, all know, that the only reason is because of Jesus Christ, our Lord. He makes the difference in our life. He makes our attitude totally different despite what things are happening with us today. The world would say, "Why are you happy?" And yet we say, "Because we have a God who is in control. And while this thing that I'm faced with may seem difficult and insurmountable, with God it's not." Going on in the chapter, he says, "All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God." We would say, how can that happen? How can my trial lead to thanksgiving? And that's why he goes on to say, "Therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day." God is faithful. "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, not on the trial we're faced with, not on the difficulty that seems to be bigger than we can get over, but on what is unseen, our God. And what is seen is temporal, but what is unseen is eternal. And that's the thing we need to often come back to. Our God is amazing. All this will one day be gone. We talked about Christ as the eternal sacrifice, offered perfect for us. And one day we will realize the promises that we've been given. One day we will be with the Lord forever. What a tremendous thing to be thankful for. And so I'd like to go to Ephesians chapter 1, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. One of my favorite books. And let's look here for the remainder of our time. In verse 3 it says, "Praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." You see that? Can you say that? Is He your Lord? Our Lord Jesus Christ. He's ours, we belong to Him, who has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now you say, well, I don't necessarily know those blessings. Day by day as we walk with Him, we need to realize that we're walking in the Spirit. We're walking in a spiritual world. It's something we can't see, yes. But He strengthens us to live for Christ day by day. Those blessings are far beyond what we can imagine. We could flip over to Philippians and read, "The peace that passes understanding will keep and guard your mind and your heart." Because we're in Christ, there's so many blessings that are available to us right away. And the world looks and goes, "I can't understand that." Again, the trial you're going through, or maybe it's you got fired, maybe who knows what the difficulty is, but the world stands amazed because you're not all bent out of shape as you walk with God. You see, this also refers to the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ, refers to the enrichment that He gives us in our spiritual walk. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. The fruit of the Spirit is available to us as we walk moment by moment, and they're already given to us. We'll get to that, but we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. In 1 Peter 3:5, it says, "In His, God the Father's, great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." You know, we were talking in Sunday school, we didn't gain salvation ourselves. God gave it to us in Christ. And as we think of that, guess what? No one can take it away from us. Absolutely no one. It is secure. We have it. And here in Peter it says it's reserved in heaven for us. It's there. We have it entrusted in God's own hands. God gave it to us. No one can take it out of His hands. What an amazing blessing and truth that is for us. In verse 4, it tells us in Ephesians, "For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight." Can you imagine that? God the Father chose us to be holy and without blame. Wow. He sees us in Christ. When He looks at you and I, in His sight means He is looking right at His Son, Jesus Christ. And if the enemy could ever take Christ out of that position of our Savior, then our salvation would be lost. But you know He can't. The enemy is powerless. The world is powerless. And even our flesh is powerless to do anything to knock us away from Christ. We're held by His power, by His might. And when I think of that, it just gives us a very comforting feeling, a very blessed feeling to know that we are secure in Christ. Goes on to say, "In love, He, God the Father, predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will." Do you imagine that? He's excited to have us in His family. He is thrilled to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one, Jesus Christ, He loves. You see, just think of all you have in Christ. Do a word search on the Lord Jesus and find out all that we have, all that we possess in Christ. And your mind begins to, like I like to say, starts to get blowing. It's the sparks fly. My computer can't handle it. It's just amazing. And yet, so often, I forget. I'm challenging myself today that I don't stop thinking about these things and giving thanks to God for the rest of the year. But not just the year that ends December 31st. The year that ends till we get back to Thanksgiving again. All year, every day, moment by moment, I need to be reminded, God, God is on our side. It says in Romans 8, 15 through 17, "For you have not received a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear." God isn't someone that we need to fear. You know, when you, if you're witnessing and talking to someone and you can sense the fear they have of God, if they have that fear, we hope they have that fear. It's an open door. But they have to get by the fact that they think, well, God, certainly God wants to take his justice on me, his judgment. Yes, he does. But once you're in Christ, guess what? Christ already took it for you. There is no need to face judgment in that way ever again. Not with fear. "But you have received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father." We have a cry of like daddy in American English. Daddy. It's like we have access to go sit on God's lap. We're his children. "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ." Can you picture that? The perfect Son of God. We're co-heirs with him. One day we'll reign with him. We have that promise. What a blessing. Lord, remind me when I get down in the dumps over something I'm doing on the daily basis, if indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. You see, there we are in the walk. Are we walking? We have it right at our disposal. But how many times do I short-circuit that because I'm down in the dumps, because I don't look at the Lord and keep walking with him? I let those circumstances of life bear on me, and I let them overwhelm me. And the Lord says, "Hey, Ron, you don't need that to happen. You don't need to let those circumstances take over. You need to walk moment by moment." It says, "In him, Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he, God the Father, lavished on us." You see, in Christ we have all this abundant blessing put upon us, all this grace that's bestowed upon us. And we need it because we are sinful people. We really deserve hell, don't we? But he says, "No, no, you're in Christ. My grace is sufficient for you," he told Paul, in the midst of a difficult time. As I contemplated that, I began to think, you know, there's only really two classes of people in this world when it comes down to it. I know Scripture talks about there's the Jew, the Gentile, and the Church of God. So in God's economy, there's three different types, but the first two are in Adam. They're still in Adam, but the church of God is in Christ. And when God looks at the world, that's what he sees. He sees those that are still under, you could say, the lordship of Adam, the sin of Adam. They're still in Adam. But those who have trusted in the finished work of Jesus Christ, and we got into this morning too. It was just amazing, again, in Sunday school. Just a real blessing, but this really fits here. We're in Christ. If this morning you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're in Christ. You have all the blessings that brings along with him. Sonship, co-heirs. We're going to be in heaven with him for eternity. We are who are in Christ because we placed our faith in the finished work of the cross are now seen by God the Father as being in Christ. When God the Father looks at us, he sees his Son, Jesus Christ. So our acceptance for salvation is based on God the Father's acceptance of his Son. As his sons, positionally we are seen as perfect. We are seen as a holy priesthood. We are seen as dead to sin. That's the way God wants it to be. But we know that with regard to our walk in the Spirit, oftentimes we are not that way. Positionally, we are. Nothing can take us out of God's hand. But we should be perfect. We should reckon ourselves dead to sin. And we should be holy. But that's where we're working to see rewards, working to glorify God. Notice that our redemption is through the blood of Jesus Christ, which has brought forgiveness of our sins. And notice also that again, the redemption is in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Aren't you glad? I'm glad it's not in my riches and how gracious I am. There's times where I'm not very gracious. But God is perfect, and His grace can blow our mind. And not only that, He lavished His grace on us who believe. I didn't really know what the word lavish really meant. I don't use that word very often. But as I looked into it, to me, the word superabound fits it, I guess. But it's like a glass that I'm pouring water into or whatever liquid, and I just keep pouring and pouring and pouring, and the glass overflows and keeps overflowing. So much that we can't hardly contain the grace of God. What a tremendous, awesome blessing. In other words, nothing can come and hit me that there's not enough grace there to meet that need. That's why the Lord said to Paul when he beseeched him three times, I want this thorn to be removed. He says, Paul, you got to remember my grace is sufficient for you. Ron, you have to remember that when you're going through this trial. My grace is exceeding beyond what you can think. It will meet that need. Nothing you will face will ever be too much for my grace. Wow. Thank you, Lord. And he goes on to say, with all wisdom and understanding, he, God the Father, made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. Are you wondering, how can I know God's will? Guess who can tell you? God the Father. Go to him in prayer. Ask him to direct you. And in this case, it's talking about one day when we'll reign with Christ, to be put in effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. I just love this passage. It's just amazing to me as I read it how awesome our God is. How we are so undeserving. And yet he said, here, I want you to be mine. He's not willing that any should perish. And as I think of that, that should spur us on. Because of all we have in Christ, we should see the people around us in a different light and begin to wonder, is that person coming up to me as I'm walking down the sidewalk? Is he saved? Lord, open the door. Help me share with him. In him, verse 11, Jesus Christ, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him, God the Father, who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of God the Father's glory. Verse 12. Paul here is speaking to the Ephesians. He's saying, we who trusted first, those who followed Jesus, those who believed in Him, Jewish believers in initial stages, the church was Jewish, were to the praise of His glory. And verse 13, in case we think we're left out in Ephesians, nope. You also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Speaks of the rest of us. We responded. When you believed, you are marked in Him with a seal, the promise, Holy Spirit. Do you have any tools at home or anything that you write your name on? I want to make sure nobody borrows this and doesn't return it. That's you and I. Did you know that? God did that to us. Did you know it? It's exciting. God put his name on us. He set his seal upon us. Hey, we're secure. God has us. We're his. Not only that, he says, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit, who is the earnest. We used to use that word a lot. King James still does. But who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Just pause, even about that verse. Go home and think about that. Go home and meditate upon it. Especially if you're having a hard time from something. Just think of the fact that you and I are his. We who have trusted in Christ. He's got his seal upon us. Because of all this, verse 15, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. We have a praying church here. We have people that are constantly remembering others. And I think one of the biggest reasons is we know where we came from. We were once lost sheep, lost sinners. And we now have the ownership of God upon our lives. Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you don't know him as your Savior, boy, you need to ask him in. You need to trust him and receive Christ. Verse 17 says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. See, don't be satisfied with your spiritual condition right today. Your spiritual knowledge. God has made available to us everything we need to live godly in Christ Jesus. Everything. We have his word. We have his spirit. He's wanting to teach us more and more and mature us in Christ as we live this life to serve him on this earth. We have a ministry. Each one of us here has a ministry. And we need to be faithful to the Lord. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which God the Father has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. I believe thankfulness spurs us on in that way. Recognizing God for who he is and our position with him gives me great comfort as I live in this world. That power is the same as the mighty power he exerted when he, God the Father, raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Do you realize nothing can happen to us? Nothing can happen to the church of God unless the Lord Jesus permits it. He's over us. He's our head. And so it should give us comfort as we think of all that we're faced with in a day. He gives us wisdom. He gives us understanding. He gives us the peace that passes understanding. God is with us. The guys in the Old Testament would often say, if God is with us, who can be against us? Romans says that same thing. So truly, who can be against us? For we have God. Let's pray. Father God, we thank and praise you for who you are. We are so grateful for all the blessings that you give us. I pray that the remainder of the year and on into the next Thanksgiving season, we will be thankful people, thankful for all that you've done for us and all that you want to use us to do to accomplish your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The message you have just heard was provided as an outreach ministry of Calvary Bible Church in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. For more information, please visit our website at calvarybiblefdl.org or call at 920-921-0530. Thanks for listening, and may you grow in grace through faith in Jesus.